Chapter 24.
It was the first day of spring, when everyone who lives in this city agrees to feel good at the same time. The day when it seems as though every woman, man, and child is flirting with my difference. I browsed at the farmer's market in Union Square, killing time. The sun dipped behind the buildings to the west of the island. Ruth made me promise not to come home until late afternoon. It was time to discover my surprise. I knocked on my own door and waited for Ruth to answer it. She wiped her hands on a cloth and led me into my bedroom. "Close your eyes," she urged. "Remember you told me I could do anything I wanted to it?" I smiled and nodded. "Okay, open your eyes." I looked around and then up at the ceiling. There it was. I sat down on my bed and fell back to look at the ceiling. Ruth had painted it velvety black with pinpoints of constellations I recognised. The darkness softened to light around the edges. I could see the outline of trees against the sky. Ruth lay down next to me. "Do you like it?" "It's just incredible. I can't believe you've given me the sky to sleep under. But I can't tell if it's dawn or dusk you've painted." She smiled up at the ceiling. "It's neither, it's both. Does that unnerve you?" I nodded slowly. "Yeah, in a funny way it does." "I figured that," she said. "It's the place inside of me I have to accept. I thought it might be what you need to deal with too." I sighed. "I really do have trouble not being able to figure out if what you've painted is about to be day or about to be night." Ruth rolled toward me and rested her hand on my chest. "It's not going to be day or night, Jess. It's always going to be that moment of infinite possibility that connects them." Ruth's face was very close to mine. We became aware of the symmetry of our breathing. She slid her hands slowly along my body from my chest to my stomach. She dropped her eyes. I chewed my lip. "I'm afraid," I answered the question she hadn't asked out loud. "Why?" she asked. "Because I'm neither night nor day?" I squeezed my eyes shut. I knew I would lose her if I wasn't honest. I knew I might lose her if I was. "Yes," I told her, "that's part of it. Remember your geometric theory, more than double the trouble." Ruth rolled onto her back. "I'm not suggesting we do it in the road." I stared up at the sky. "You know what I mean. But that's only part of it. If I really have to be honest, it's because I'm afraid not to be with someone who is night or day. I guess I felt like the femmes I was with anchored me. It was the closest to normal I've ever felt." Ruth curled up into my arms. "Were you her dawn or her dusk?" I smiled sadly. "In the beginning I was her dawn, by the end I was her twilight." We both sighed. "You want more truth, Ruth? There's a place somewhere inside of me where I've never been touched before. I'm afraid you'll touch me there, and I'm afraid you won't. My femme lovers knew me well, but they never crossed those boundaries inside of me. They tried to coax me across the border into their arms, but they never came after me. You're right there with me. There's no place for me to hide. It scares me." Ruth smiled sadly. "Isn't it funny? That's exactly why I would like to make love with you." We lay quietly. I kissed her hair. "Oh, Ruth, I haven't had to navigate sex in a long time with anyone. I don't even know who I am as a lover anymore. But I'm scared you'll leave me now. Can't we figure it out as we go along? Please stay in my life. I need you so much." Ruth got up on one elbow and kissed my lips. "I need you too." I held one of her hands, marveling at how small mine looked in hers. She dropped her eyes while I kissed each one of her knuckles. "I've been thinking a lot about my life since my jaw got broken," I told her. "I once read about warriors who resolve before they go into battle that today is a good day to die." Ruth smiled. "It's a brave thought, but I don't want to die." I nodded. "At first I thought it meant resigning myself to death, but now I think it means facing my own life at the moment I'm facing my enemy. Maybe that's the key to fighting fearlessly, to surviving. I've left a lot of things unfinished in my life. It makes me more afraid to die. It holds me back in a fight." Ruth frowned. "Like what?" "I always wanted to leave something important behind. Remember the history book you gave me for Christmas? Ruth nodded. I've been going to the library looking up our history. There's a ton of it in anthropology books, a ton of it, Ruth. We haven't always been hated. Why didn't we grow up knowing that? Ruth propped herself up on her elbow and watched my face as I spoke. It's changed the way I think. I grew up believing the way things are now is the way they've always been, so why even bother trying to change the world? But just finding out that it was ever different, even if it was long ago, made me feel things could change again, whether or not I live to see it. At work, when everyone else is at lunch, I've been typesetting all the history I've found, trying to make it look as important as it feels to me. That's what I want to leave behind, Ruth. The history of this ancient path we're walking. I want it to help us restore our dignity. Ruth pressed my hand to her lips. But I want more, Ruth. There's things I've been afraid to face in my life. They may sound small, but they hold me back from pride. Remember when I told you about Butch Owl? I want to find out what really happened to her. And there's a Butch I once put down because I couldn't deal with the fact that she got turned on by other Butches. I thought being Butch automatically meant being attracted to femmes, just like I assumed transvestism meant gay. Ruth smiled. It's an easy misunderstanding. You were hanging out in gay bars. I nodded. Yeah, but I always wanted all of us who are different to be the same. I can't believe I rejected a Butch friend because she took a Butch lover. I want to tell Frankie I'm sorry. Ruth kissed my cheek. Anything else? I nodded. Yeah, there were two little kids, Kim and Scotty. I promised I'd come back and find them someday. Ah, and there's one more thing I need to do. Ruth ran her fingers through my hair. What? I lay back and stared into the universe on the ceiling. I want to write a letter to Teresa, a woman I still carry around in my heart. We parted in a real rough way. I want to finally find the words, even if she never reads them. My eyelids felt heavy. Ruth curled up against me as I yawned. You'll find the words, she reassured me. I sighed. First, I have to let my own memories come back. I put them away somewhere because they hurt. Now I have to remember where I put them. The breeze from the window chilled me. I pulled the tie quilt over both of us and snuggled up against Ruth. She felt warm and comforting beside me. Sleepy? She asked me. I nodded. Stay with me for a while, Ruth, please. She nodded. I buried my face in her neck. She stroked my hair and kissed my forehead. Sleep now, my sweet drag king. I almost hung up when I heard Frankie's voice on the other end of the phone. It's me, Jess. Do you remember me, Frankie? That's all I could think of to say. There was a long silence. Jess? Jesus, is that really you? It's been a long time. I cleared my throat. Yeah, it has been. Listen, Frankie, I really want to talk to you. If you don't want to, I'll understand, but I owe you an apology and it's long overdue. I'd like to offer it to you in person if you'll see me. I'm living in New York City now, but I could come to Buffalo. Another long silence. You know something, Jess? I'm still mad at you. But not as mad as you're afraid I am. And I'll tell you something else. It matters to me that you called to say that. I'll be in Manhattan on the 15th at the Labor College. I could meet you at the Duchess for a drink around 11. I paused. Is that the lesbian bar in Sheridan Square? Yeah. Well, I don't know if they'll let me in. Can I meet you outside the bar? Sure, Frankie said. I'll see you then. When the night finally arrived, I paced under a street lamp outside the bar, chewing my thumbnail. I saw Frankie approach from across the street. We stood awkwardly. Neither of us knew where to begin. I reached out my hand. She shook it. I found our shared past in her grasp. I'd forgotten how much I loved Butches until I looked at her standing there. The defensive defiance of her stance, one hand jammed in her trouser pocket, her head cocked to the side. I don't know which shocked me more, the ways Frankie had changed, or how much she looked exactly the way I remembered her. Strange to see soft wrinkles in that freckled teenage face, silver hairs among the wiry red ones. It's good to see you, Frankie. She scuffed her shoe against the pavement. That's good to see you too. I tried to keep my lower lip from trembling. I don't just mean it's nice to see you, Frankie. Just looking at you is bringing back a whole part of my life I really need right now. It's really good to see you. I opened my arms and we hugged each other tight. Then we wrestled playfully. I scruffed her hair, she punched my shoulder. Jess, no matter what went down in the past, we're still from the old days. You still matter to me, Frankie said. I thought that was such a generous thing to say. You ever see anyone from the old crowd? I asked. She nodded. I see Grant a lot. What about Teresa? I held my breath. Frankie shook her head. You remember Butch Jan? She and her lover got a flower shop on Elmwood Avenue, Blue Violet. I can't think of anybody else, except for Duffy. You remember Duffy, the union organiser? I smiled. Yeah, I remember Duffy. Frankie leaned forward. You don't know how sorry he was that he fucked up that job for you. He really didn't mean it, Jess. I nodded. Yeah, I know he didn't. I want his phone number if you've got it. I'd like to talk to him too. Frankie nodded. We stood in shy silence. Frankie, I'm sorry. I always thought I was so open-minded, but when I came up against my own fears, I tried to separate myself from you. I've done some growing up since then. I can't take it back, but I'm real sorry. Frankie gestured with her thumb towards the Duchess. You don't know if they'll let you in there? Well, in our day, I was afraid if I showed you turned me... Oh, if I showed you turned me on, my own people would shut the door in my face. That's a terrible way to feel. I'm sorry that's happening to you now. Shit, Jess. What hurt the most is I respected you. I wanted you to respect me. I rubbed the sadness out of my eyes. Well, you deserved it. Come on. I took her by the shoulder. Let's go to the piers. We walked slowly down Christopher Street toward the Hudson River. You know, Frankie, when we were younger, I thought I had it figured out. I'm a butch because I love femmes. That was something beautiful. Nobody ever honoured our love. You scared me. I felt like you were taking that away from me. Frankie shook her head. I wasn't taking anything from you. But how do you think I felt when you told me I wasn't a real butch because I sleep with other butches? You were taking away who I am. Jesus, Jess. When I walk down the street, guys fuck with me. I don't have to prove I'm butch to them. How come I got to prove it to you? I shook my head. You don't. I put my arm around her shoulder. We crossed the West Side Highway and walked to the end of the pier. The full moon illuminated the clouds. Light shimmered on the dark water. Frankie's voice dropped low. Jess, which old bull really brought you out? I smiled at her memory. Butch Al, from Niagara Falls. For me, it was Grant, Frankie said. Grant? I remembered Grant as a mean drunk who could offend anyone. Frankie watched my face. Grant meant the world to me. She taught me that I am what I am, that I got nothing to prove. It was a very liberating concept for a baby butch. I smiled gently. I never thought of Grant as very liberated. Not that any of us were. Frankie nodded. Grant never took her own wisdom to heart. She's a prisoner of her shame, but she didn't want us young ones to end up like her. She only seduced baby butches when she got real drunk. But I never felt like we made her happy. I think she has some secret passion that scares the shit out of her. I frowned. Like what? Frankie shrugged. I think she's horrified by something inside of her she thinks is twisted. Like maybe she fantasizes about being with strong old bulls or men or something. Poor Grant. I wish she'd let me in. I love that old bulldogger so much. We sat in silence, listening to the waves lapping against the pilings beneath us. Frankie sighed. You know, Jess, I never learned to love myself until I gave in to loving other butches. I laughed. I don't know why, but I have this image of you sleeping with a different femme every week. Frankie nodded, without smiling. I thought that was what I was supposed to do. Inside my head, I was asking each one, could you love me? Do you love me? Am I lovable? Of course, the minute they did care about me, I knew I couldn't respect their judgment, so I moved on to the next. God, I was shit, spams. Frankie looked out over the water. It was only when I finally admitted it was butch hands I wanted on my body that everything changed for me. The more I saw what I loved about other butchers, the more I began to accept myself. You know who gets it for me, Jess? I smiled and shook my head. an old bull with graying hair, cocky smile and sad eyes. You know the kind of birch with arms as big as your thigh? Those are the arms I want to hold me. I ran my fingertips over the dark wood near my thigh. I love them so much too, but what gets it for me is high femme. It's funny. It doesn't matter whether it's women or men. It's always high femme that pulls me by the waist and makes me sweat. Frankie rested a hand on my arm. You and I have to hammer out a definition of butch that doesn't leave me out. I'm sick of hearing butch used to mean sexually aggressive or courage. If that's what butch means, what does it mean in reverse for femmes? I shook my head. I never thought about it like that. But I have to admit that when you told me about you and Johnny, the first thing I wondered was, who's the femme in bed? Frankie leaned forward. Neither of us were. What you meant was who does the fucking and who gets fucked. Who ran the fuck? That's not the same thing as being butch or femme, Jess. Frankie moved closer to me and touched my shoulder. I tensed. Relax, she whispered. I'm not coming on to you, Jess. I'm sorry, I'm not so used to getting touched. Frankie's hands kneaded the soreness from my shoulders. You know, I have a confession to make. I used to have a crush on you in the old days. I laughed nervously. Oh shit, I was just starting to relax with you. She patted me on the back. You'll get over it. Frankie rubbed my neck. You were like a fucking legend when you started to pass. What's it like, Jess? I shrugged. I don't know. Just trying to survive has pulled me through, but it hasn't left much leisure to think about it. Am I so different from you? She whispered her thought out loud. You have to decide that. To me, we're still kin. A cruise ship passed. Laughter from the people on deck floated across the water. I sat facing New Jersey with Frankie's hand on my shoulders. Are you still with Johnny? I felt her body sink against mine. It's hard for two butches, Jess. It's very hard. I sighed and nodded. Hey, Frankie, when two butches are together, like lovers, I mean, do they talk about their feelings? Feelings? Frankie asked. What are those? We both chuckled, warm and relaxed. We laughed harder and harder until tears streamed down our cheeks. For the first time since she touched me, I relaxed my body against Frankie's. I allowed myself to enjoy the strength of her arms around me. You know, Frankie, I whispered. There's things that happen to me because I'm a he-she that I never talked about to a femme. I've never had the words. Frankie nodded. You don't need words with me, Jess, I know. I shook my head. I do need words, Frankie. Sometimes I feel like I'm choking to death on what I'm feeling. I need to talk, and I don't even know how. Femmes always tried to teach me to talk about my feelings, but it was their words they used for their feelings. I needed my own words, butch words, to talk about butch feelings. Frankie pulled me tighter, tears welled up in my eyes. I feel like I'm clogged up with all this toxic goo, Frankie, but I can't hear my own voice say the words out loud. I've got no language. Frankie opened her arms wider, took more of me in. I leaned my face against her arm. She offered me refuge the way I held Butch Al years ago in a jail cell. Frankie, I've got no words for feelings that are tearing me apart. What would our words sound like? I looked up at the sky. Like thunder, maybe. Frankie pressed her lips against my hair. Yeah, like thunder. And yearning. I smiled and kissed the hard muscle of her biceps. Yearning, I repeated softly. What a beautiful word to hear a butch say out loud.